tower, Lord.
Lord, we have made.
The revival fall on this earth, Lord. Revival, Jesus. Oh, our only hope is you, Lord. Have mercy, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Oh, we have made.
Lord, we
Lord, we worship you. And Lord, truly our only hope is revival, a true revival among Christians, among true Christians. A true outpouring of your Spirit, God. But Lord, you only do that when there's a true humbling, Lord, and that we acknowledge our sins. Lord, we confess our sins to you because only you can wash away our sins. Jesus, you are the only Messiah, the only Savior, the only Deliverer, the only one that can truly change the human heart. And so, Lord, we ask you to do that. We ask you to do that in us. We ask you to do that in our nation right now. We pray that there would be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I speak your word to you today. Lord, you promised that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you would raise up a standard against that enemy. And Lord, I know America has many sins over our almost 300 years. We have many sins. But Lord, we know, God, that you are the one that can forgive, wash it away, redeem, restore, revive, heal. Lord, you have sent great awakenings, great revivals to this country in the past to save us from ourselves, to save us from destruction. And Lord, even though we know we're in the last days, Lord, and you foretold and you warned us that these things that we're seeing would come, we know, God, that in the midst of that, you've also promised that if your people would cry out, would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, Lord, that you would work, Lord, we know there's going to be pockets of revival and places of refuge, and that there will be churches rise up to be your people, to be the remnant, to be the light, Lord, in the darkness, to be a city on a hill, to be, Lord, truly an example. And so, Lord, we just ask you to help us all, Lord, repent, humble ourselves, deal with our sins, let you wash them away. Because you shed your blood to wash away our sins. You are the Lamb of God that came to take away not the sin of black people or white people or red people or yellow people. Lord, you said you came to take away the sins of the world. All of us need our sins taken away. It doesn't matter what race we are. We need the blood of Jesus to wash our sins away, and we need the Holy Spirit to come in and change our hearts. So we pray that today. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our president. We pray for the governors. We pray for our congressmen, our senators. We pray for our state representatives. We pray for judges. We pray for our police. We pray for our military. We pray for our nation. Lord, we pray that there would be a revival sweep through the lives of our leaders, that they would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They would come to know you, Lord, the Prince of Peace. We pray for revival. We pray for your mercy in the midst of this judgment, in the midst of this, Lord, you drawing your hand back and letting us see what we become left to ourselves. We pray, God, that you will, in the midst of this judgment and wrath, that you will remember mercy. And before we We have our speaker come. I want to do that song again. Lord have mercy. I think everybody, some of you out there that joined us, you guys didn't join us till 11 a.m. and you might have just caught the tail end of that song. But I think as Christians, we need to understand, what is mercy? What is mercy? Mercy, if you look up the actual definition, it is undeserved kindness. It is undeserved forgiveness. None of us deserve anything. None of us. We don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve his forgiveness. We didn't deserve Jesus to take our sins on his body on that cross. We did not deserve him to be beaten and whipped and spit upon and nailed to a cross so we could be forgiven and have a changed heart. We didn't deserve that. That's mercy. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. You hear me? Sometimes we get what we deserve. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is when you, if you show mercy, you're not giving someone what they deserve. And when God shows mercy to us, he's not giving us what we deserve. He's giving us undeserved kindness. And so we need to pray that we will all become people who give mercy so we may receive mercy. Remember? Didn't he say something about that? We must be people who give mercy if we want to receive mercy. But I'm going to tell you this. You have to ask God for mercy. Even asking God to have mercy is an act of humility because you're realizing what you deserve. Our country deserves this. We have had wickedness in this country. We've had wickedness. I mean terrible wickedness. For centuries. And we deserve it. We deserve to crumble in ruins. God to just walk away. But it doesn't have to be that way. As God's promised, he would hear his people. And there's a lot of people in this country. Asian, white, Hispanic, black, Native American. Who, guess what? We understand that if we want mercy, we got to show mercy. And we understand that our only hope is not some new political system. Our only hope is God Almighty, the Creator, the Lord Jesus. Amen? And that he will change our hearts. Because you know what? Without Jesus, I'm a bad man. A very bad man. I know about that. Right? Sal? You remember. No Jesus, bad Sal, right? But we all been there. Only Jesus can change truly, but you have to let him. Amen? So let's do this song. And like I said, Troy, you got all the time. We're not in a hurry. All right? So let's do this song again, and then I'll introduce Troy to you.
We come to pray and to seek the Lord today for salvation from his hand, for the healing of our land. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For we have placed all our hopes.
our sin we repent, oh Lord. We believe your holy words. Have mercy now, we pray, and take all our sin away. Kyrie.
Have mercy. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on our nation. And let us have a revival. One more, Lord. One more revival. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. For those of you, if you didn't hear that, John said that during the song there, he felt Psalm 2 about if we put our trust in the Lord, he's going to be with us. Amen. Just read Psalm 2. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Amen. Yeah, our trust is in Jesus. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for Jesus and his blood and his grace and the power of his spirit, I wouldn't have made it this far, and none of us are going to make it any further without that. Well, this morning, it's been a while. Pastor Troy spoke for us back, goodness, was it 2016? I think it was before the election. It's been too long. We can't go, like, you know, in four-year cycles, brother. But life gets crazy and busy. But I've known Troy and Dee since, I guess, about 2004, somewhere back in that time period. So it's been a long time. They've just started a new ministry, just did their second service. They live in Montgomery, Alabama, which is about an hour from here. But their new ministry, you need to check them out. I put it on our sites. But Next Level Ministries in Montgomery, if you're in Montgomery, Alabama, or around there, you need to visit them. Is it 10 o'clock or 10:30? 10:30 on Saturday mornings. But if you're on our website, Facebook, or I think I just shared it on Facebook. So if you're out there on that, I put the link for your page there. So hopefully they can find you. And Dee's in our ministry school. She's one of our star students and doing well. But we just love them. I've loved them for a long time. And one thing I can tell you about Troy and Dee is that they love Jesus. They're about Jesus and his will and his word, his truth, and also about not just sitting back, but trying to make an impact in the world. And that's another thing I've appreciated about them. I hope you don't mind me telling on you, but, you know, Troy was the vice chair of the Alabama Republican Party for how long? 2 years. He believes in getting out there and mixing it up and telling the truth in the public arena as well as in the church. But I felt it was the Lord last week to have Nancy speak. And then right after that, it's just like, you know what? I know Troy's supposed to speak to us. So, brother, come on and share the word.
Praise the Lord. Wow. It's been a busy 4 days for it, hasn't it? My dad's been ill, and I had to go up to Trustville and take care of him for a couple of days. And then we had our service yesterday. And then Pastor Dean, a couple days ago, gave me a lot of notice, you guys, sends me a text. Can you preach for me on Sunday? I had to think about it for a long time, but I prayed about it, and the Lord said to go ahead and come. As Pastor Dean said, we named our ministry Next Level Ministries, and the Lord gave us that name, and it was a frustration inside of me and inside of my wife, but a real frustration inside of me because of what was going on with the church and the body of Christ. And really, I call it irrelevant ministry. And I believe God is beginning to call new ministries right now, specialized ministries. One of my good friends, we've been best friends for probably 25 years. He called me last night, Alkies, I'm concerned about the church. I said, you know what, Fidel, I'm not concerned about the church. I said, God right now he's shaking right now the body of Christ. He's testing to see who's going to be on the Lord's side when this is all done. You guys, I'm seeing churches that I never thought I would see fall and give in. You know, there's some churches, I know their history and where they started from, but when I heard that the Southern Baptist Church was beginning to cave on homosexuality, it really touched me. I said, you know, one thing I did not expect them to cave, but they're beginning to cave. And I told my friend, I said, listen, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just like Gideon. God said, I got too many. God works through a remnant. God works through the power of a remnant. And God's going to find out who's on his side, and it's going to be a powerful move of the Lord. You know, Jesus said, I'm returning for a bride. When he returns for his church, he said, I'm returning for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. It's going to happen. But God is going to do it through his remnant. That's not my message today. But I just wanted to say that, you know, thank you, Pastor Dean, for giving me this opportunity to come and speak to your body of believers here. You know, right now, I've actually, my message, I titled it Covenants, Curses, and the Cornerstone. But I did a four-week teaching at a Church of God in Prattville about a month ago, four consecutive Wednesdays. I taught on God and government and the responsibility of the Christian to the governmental mountain. And it's a really extensive teaching. And what I did was the Lord put on my heart to take a little bit from one teaching and another from another outline. And I'm going to kind of mix this all together today. But the title is Covenants, Curses, and the Cornerstone. And with everything that is going on right now in the nation, you know, it is very easy for us to lose our focus on who we are, what God has called us to be. And so God said, I want to help you keep your right focus in the Lord. I know in black churches coming up, we used to always say God is a mind regulator. I'm trying to get everybody, make sure everybody's mind is regulated right now. So we're gonna look in the Word at some things here. So we're going to start off, and the first question I'm going to ask is, how do we see ourselves right now? How do we see ourselves? There is a lot of movements going on right now. We have Antifa, Black Lives Matter, ACORN. There's all these different organizations and movements, and it pulls on us sometimes. And so we have to look at things and make sure that we have the right mindset on things. In 1 John 4:1, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. And so, you guys, we have to try the spirits by the Spirit. Amen? And so how I kind of look at this, if anybody else in here into the superhero movies and stuff like I am, any Spider-Man fans in here today? Big Spider-Man fan over here. What I love about Spider-Man is he has what's called a spider sense, right? When danger is about to come, when something is not right, that little doot, 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 right? That's what the Holy Spirit is. When we try something by the Spirit, that inner witness inside of us should tell us, is that of God, is that not of God? So we have to try the spirits by the Spirit. And Genesis 2:16-17, it says this, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou may eat of freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou shalt surely die. And God began to speak to me about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Kind of doesn't sound right? Why did he not want them to know about good? But he's not talking about good. See, this is what happened when they fell, when Adam and Eve fell, then everything that man began to do, we began to judge things by good and evil and how we judge as men good and evil, right? The Bible says our righteousness is that of filthy rags. So what happens is I'm reminded of when I was in high school, there was a girl that slept around with a lot of guys. She slept with like half the football team. And I remember this one girl that would always talk about her and call her certain names. We know the names that we used to call people, right? But she had a boyfriend, and she would say, you know, I only sleep with my boyfriend. But check this out. You're a fornicator just like she was a fornicator. That's why God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, there was two pieces of fruit on that tree. There was evil and there was good. And I believe there are more people in hell right now that have eaten from eating good, think I'm doing good things, right? Antifa, Black Lives Matter, ACORN. Even when we do things like We Are the World and trying to feed, they're good things, but are they God things? And see, before the fall, they were walking in perfect relationship with God. They were righteous. And he says, I don't want you living off a tree trying to discern who's gooder than the other person. I know that's not good English. That's not proper English. But you understand what I'm saying? So we have to judge these things by the Spirit. Here's another big problem that I see in the body of Christ. And that is, I call it, God told me it's an identity crisis. And basically, we're making decisions based on our color. And so this has been a big thing that I have noticed. And being a black man, I can really talk about this from our experience, from the experience of being a black man, because what I see black people doing is making decisions based on their blackness. I ask a question sometimes, and people think, well, Brother Troy, this is you're just having a play on words. It's not a play on words. I ask people, do you consider yourself a white Christian or a Christian that happens to be white? Do you consider yourself a Latino Christian or a Christian that happens to be Latino? Do you consider yourself a black Christian or a Christian that happens to be black? Do you consider yourself an Asian Christian or a Christian that happens to be Asian? And you would think that's a play on words. It really isn't. God is trying to make a point here. God says, whatever you put first there, that's what's going to be first, right? In Matthew 6 and 21, it says, for where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. So what I have been noticing is that if you tell me that you're a black Christian, there's a possibility that you will put your blackness before your Christian. I have seen this happen so many times. I wasn't planning on saying this today, but I think it's so important right now that I do. I was talking to some people when we were here at the end of last week, but about 25 years ago, it was right before a presidential election, and one of the networks that do 24-hour news did a poll of registered black voters. Now, this was 25 years ago. Now, this poll has changed, and the numbers have changed, but this is very interesting, and this really got me started on my journey with God, with the political and God. They asked them 6 questions on morality, but only remember 3. The first question was, is homosexuality morally wrong? Is homosexuality morally wrong? 86% that responded, these are just black Americans, registered voters, 86% said, yes, it's morally wrong. The next question they asked them was, is abortion morally wrong? Same response, 86% said, yes, it's morally wrong. Here was the last question they asked them. In the upcoming election, who are they going to support for president? And 95% of them polled was going to vote for the candidate that was pro-homosexual rights and pro-abortion. You guys, I almost fell out of my chair. I almost fell out of my chair because I just immediately said, well, God, this makes no sense. I mean, in the poll, in their heart of hearts, they're saying that they know these things are wrong, but they're stepping over that truth in their heart, and they're voting for the person that goes against their own morality in your heart. And I said, God, why is this so? And he said, one of them is, Troy, one of the reasons is there is an identity crisis. And they are putting their color before their Christianity. And when you do that, when you make decisions out of the wrong mindset, what actually happens is you have made an idol out of your own ethnicity. What is an idol? An idol is something that you erect and put before God. We see that in that poll, right? Another one of the things the Lord told me, the reason why this is he said tradition. Jesus said the traditions of men make the word of God none effect. But you know what? That's the reason why we have been voting the way we do. You know why? Mama voted that way. Big Mama voted that way. We've always voted that way. Almost a knee-jerk reaction. We don't even think about it. But in that poll, see, when I read that poll, when I heard that, I was like, God, this makes no sense. But God began, and I began to ask him, God, why is this? And he said, this is the reason why. One is tradition. But Jesus' words ring true. He said, the traditions of men make the word of God none effect. We see it right there in the poll. Because tradition was so strong that even in their hearts they knew these things were wrong, but they still said, you know what, I got to go and vote for this person. And here's where the enemy fools us. He gets us to believe that we're helping ourselves because he gets us focused on, now I'm going to talk as a black man, okay? Now you're white, you're Hispanic, you can go in your own way, okay? He gets us to believe that if I vote this way, it's going to help me as a black man. And it actually doesn't. The name of this message is Covenants, Curses, and the Cornerstone. And I haven't even, I'm so off base right now in the order I'm going to do this. But here's the thing. See, this is what you got to understand. Voting is an act of your will. It is an act of your will. You can make covenant with a cursed thing. And so here in this poll, we see they know these things are wrong. But when you step over that truth and go into that voting booth and you cast or you circle in your pencil, that is an act of your will and you are making covenant with a cursed thing. Now, you got to understand covenant. See, if you don't understand covenant, this won't mean anything to you. Because covenant is so powerful, you guys. It is so powerful. When me and my wife got married, we went into a covenant. It's kind of like a spiritual contract, right? A pact or a treaty. And with a covenant, whatever is hers is mine. Whatever is mine is hers. So I think I went into the refrigerator the other day, and was I drinking your Pepsi? You said, did I tell you you could have my Pepsi? I said, yeah, you did. When you said I do, that's my Pepsi. That's my Pepsi too. And here's the thing. When we got married, Dee's credit was like A1 okay. Mine was low to the ground. And about a year and a half after we got married, we said, let's go buy us a new house. So we did. We go through the process. And here's what happened. When they came back with our credit score, Dee's was here. Mine was here. Our credit score for the house was here. Because, see, that's covenant. She took on the curse of my bad credit when we got married. I took the blessing of her good credit. It's the same thing when we get saved, right? Jesus takes our sin, our sickness, our disease. We get salvation, wholeness, healing. That's covenant. So check this out. When you go vote, which is an act of your will, for somebody that goes against the will of God, and you know it, you have made covenant with a cursed thing, and that curse comes upon you. I can prove it. I can prove it because I look at the African-American community. We are the only ones that about at a 95% clip vote one way. And I look at the things that are going on, and even a lot of things that they're talking about right now and out in the streets fighting against. And look, it was wrong. What happened and what's been going on in this nation for years? It's wrong. But some of what's going on is a covenant with a cursed thing. Listen, we black people have been 13% of the population in America for like 60 years. I was in a barbershop once, and the guy was complaining. Yeah, you know, whitey's after us. Whitey's after us, man. We've been 13% of the population for 60 years. And, you know, I usually go to barbershop. I don't say nothing. Y'all, I don't say nothing because I do want to get out alive. I only wanted a good cut, tighten me up, tighten the brother up, you know. But this particular day, Holy Spirit said, you got to say something. I said, you want to know why? We're only 13% of the population. I said, I'm going to give you two good reasons why. Number one is abortion. I said, with 13% of the population, but every year annually, 36 to 39% of all abortions are done on black babies. But you keep voting, and I just said it. I got up out my chair. When I get up on my chair, I feel the anointing. I said, but you keep voting, and there's women and men. This place is packed. It's a Saturday. I said, but you keep voting for people that believe in this legalized genocide. You have made covenant with a cursed thing. So the curse that's on that party has come upon you because you have made covenant with it. And if you want to get that curse off of you, first of all, repent and then turn and say, God, I won't vote that way no more. Do you know we could, as Christians, just voted like Christians, we could change politics. We could change it in no time. What if we just made a stance? What if every Christian, I don't care what color, creed, where you came from, say, as long as you believe in killing babies in the womb, I won't even look at you. You won't get a dollar. I'll turn away. I won't even look at you. If you believe in marriage that's anything other than God's blueprint, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his own wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's the blueprint. I ain't seen nothing else in the word that contradicts that. If we did that, and so there's no part, the parties couldn't win any major elections if they went against that. But you know what Christians do? We'd rather wave the white flag. It's too hard. They're calling me homophobe, xenophobe, every kind of phobe. You can call me what you want to. I ain't making covenant with a cursed thing. So there's an identity crisis. Can I tell y'all something? Let me read these two scriptures to you. Go to Galatians 3, 27 and 28. Galatians 3, 27 and 28. It says, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, because you are all one in Christ Jesus." There is no color in the kingdom. Did I hear an amen? Somebody gave me an amen. There's no color in the kingdom. Let me read that one more time because y'all didn't hear me. "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. There is no more Jew nor Greek, no more bond or free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." There is no color in the kingdom. So you cannot make decisions based off this. You can't do it. Let me read one more. Colossians 3, 10 and 11. I'm reading this in the Amplified. "And have put on the new spiritual self, who is being continually renewed in true knowledge in the image of him who created the new self. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek," which means Gentile, "or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, nor between nations, whether barbarian or Scythian, nor in status, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all, so believers are equal in Christ without distinction." There is no color in the kingdom. There's no color in the kingdom. So if you cannot make your decisions then based on this, if you can't make your decision based on this, I can't make my decision. This is just a dirt suit. Y'all know there's five different colors of dirt. Anybody remember all? There's like red dirt, black dirt, brown dirt, white dirt. Guess what we were made from? Dirt. When we die, guess what happens to this flesh? It goes back to what? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, right? This is just a dirt suit. But that's not who we identify with in the kingdom. And so Jesus, in Matthew 12, 46 through 50, I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to paraphrase it. It's also an account in Mark 3. Jesus is teaching a bunch of people, and I believe I don't know if he's in a house or someplace like that, but he's teaching, and there's a great multitude of people. His mother comes, and his brother comes, and they want to talk to him. So one of his disciples comes up to him and they say, "Master, your mother and your brother is outside and they want to speak to you." Jesus answers. He gives this very strange, peculiar answer. He says, "Who is my mother and who is my brother?" Now, y'all don't think Jesus knew Mary was his mother and who his half-brother was is in the natural. But that's a very peculiar answer, isn't it? But he goes on to say, he said, "Those that do the will of my Father are my sister, my brother, and my mother." Are you doing the will of the Father? You're my brother. You doing the will of the Father? You're my sister. See, you can't base this on color. You can't vote for somebody based on color. Are they doing the will of the Father? That's the only way that we can do this, you guys. So who are we really then? See, one time I was riding in my car. This was a number of years ago. And God spoke something to me. God speaks to me so much when I'm riding in the car. Anybody else can testify that? Especially when I'm by myself. God just starts saying stuff to me. But this one, y'all, you're talking about peculiar? Jesus says something peculiar. God said to me, he said, I want you to stop thinking of yourself as a black man. I said, what? He said, stop thinking of yourself as a black man. I said, why, Lord? He said, you're a kingdom citizen. And then he took me to a couple scriptures. Hebrews 11 and 13. You know, Hebrews 11 is the chapter that we call the Hall of Faith. It says that we're now strangers, pilgrims, exiles on the earth. Y'all, we're just strangers passing through. While we're here, we get kingdom assignments. We get kingdom assignments. Y'all, I have figured out that God is, I really have just recently come to this revelation. He's an investor. He's an investor. Y'all remember the parable about the talents? He gave one talent. He gave one 2 talents. He gave one 5 talents. And I know that when you read that, talents means a measure of money, but I also mean it believes the gifts, talents, and abilities that God gives you while you're on the earth. And he was not mad with the guy with the 1 talent because he only had 1 talent. That's not why he was mad. He was mad because he did not give him a return on his investment. And so what God does from the time you say I do to Jesus, he starts investing in you. He sends you to a church. You get your foundation and your doctrine, right? And then every place you go, he puts something else. He's building on you. But eventually God says, go give me a return on my investment. So I ask everybody in here right now, what are you giving God back? See, he's going to judge you one day. He's going to say, you could write. Where was that book? It was in you. I put the gifts, talents, and abilities in you. What are you supposed to be doing for Jesus? He's an investor. God is an investor. He said, I want a return on my investment. So while you're on the earth, what God does is he said he gives you kingdom assignments. See, if you think of you, see, this is what happened. When I stop looking at myself as a black man and start looking at myself as a kingdom citizen, I start seeing everything through the eyes of the kingdom, through everything through the eyes of the king and the decrees he left me. If it don't line up with this word, I ain't with it. Somebody said to me one time, man, you ain't down with the cause. You ain't down with the brothers. I said, man, I'm down with the kingdom. You ain't getting me in that trap, because Satan will deceive you if you put your ethnicity before your Christianity. Ephesians 2 and 19 says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. Citizens of God's kingdom. I love this scripture here. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, you're a chosen generation. That word generation there actually means race. You're a chosen race. See, when you get saved, you become, the Bible says, you're a new creature. We're a whole new race. We Christ's race. We kingdom people. He said, you're a holy generation. And you know what? Not only are you a chosen generation, meaning you're a new race, but you're also a chosen generation, a little bit different. See, this is what I believe. Because time means nothing with God. God is eternal. God can look throughout the eons of time, and he did. And before he ever made the earth and man, he looked throughout the eons of time, and he said, you know what? I'm going to need a Dean Odell in this time, in this season. I'm going to need a Nancy Odell in this time, in this season. I'm going to need a Deanne Towns in this time, in this season. I'm going to need a Troy Towns in this time, in this season. And I believe he chose your generation. See, you weren't born in the 1300s or the 1400s. God had you here for now, and he equipped you for this time, in this season. I promise you, you're equipped for this time and this season. The Bible said he won't put more on you than you can bear. And the gifts that you have, Sal, they're for now. I don't know what God's doing with you, dealing with you about, but what he's giving you is for the now. Now faith is. A royal priesthood. Hebrews 4 talks about Jesus being our great high priest. You guys, we are from royalty, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Leviticus 11 and 44 and 1 Peter 1 and 16, it says, God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Y'all want to know what's happened with the churches? When I grew up, there was such talk about holiness, sanctification. We have thrown out the baby with the bathwater. And there's no, I'm stunned by how little emphasis there is on holiness today. God says, be holy, for I am holy. Listen, it may be impossible to attain in these earth suits complete holiness, but God says, strive for it. That's my nature. You know, the church that we, D and I, just, we left. We were there a little over 3 years. And one of the things that really bothered us in our spirit was there was too much excuses for sin and not a standard for holiness. If you're the leader of a church and you don't put any standard for holiness, the people will never strive to attain it. Holiness. Without no man will see God. Oh, I love this one. A peculiar people. See, we need to be peculiar. Peculiar people. In James 4 and 4, it says to be a friend of the world as to be at enmity with God. That means at war with God. Whoever, therefore, is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. See, listen, if they don't think you're strange, if the world don't think you're strange, something wrong in your walk with Jesus. I remember a number of years ago, I was coming through a Walmart buying some stuff, and on the magazine rack, there was a picture of T.D. Jakes standing there, probably in about a $5,000 suit, and it said, America's preacher. Y'all, the Holy Spirit got all over me. If the world is acknowledging you as America's preacher, you ain't preaching nothing. I bet you will never see Pastor Dean Odo on a magazine saying America's preacher. So for that to happen, the Bible says to be a friend of the world is to be at enmity with God. You better wake up. Romans 8. Let me read this right out of my word. Romans 8:6-8. It says, so to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You guys, here's the key right here. You got to stay spiritually minded. And Satan is a master of getting you out of the spirit mind and into the natural mind. Man, he is a master at doing this. So right now, what's going on? I tell you, I go and talk to the guy that cuts my hair. He's actually a minister. He used to pastor a church at one time. And I go in to get my hair cut this last time, and he started talking about, man, we need to go, and they need to be riding in white neighborhoods. Let's not be breaking up our neighborhood. And I said, dude, you need to get out the flesh. You're in the fleshly mind. And he just kept going on. He kept bucking me and going. I said, dude, you're in the fleshly mind. You're a man of God. And I had to start giving him scriptures. I said, no. And so what, let me tell you how in every race of people, y'all ever heard the story of Pavlov's dog? You remember that story that in science they taught us about that? Like, he had a dog, and whenever he would feed the dog, he would ring a bell. And so After a while, he wouldn't even have to bring the food. If he rang the bell, the dog would begin to salivate. Well, it's the same thing with every race of people. There are certain words that get us out of our spiritual mind and in our natural mind. So with black people, it's racism, civil rights, right? Hispanic people, it's, what is it? Immigration. And what he has been so successful in doing is when we go in to vote, we leave our spiritual mind. He gets us to get in our natural mind, and we make the decision in our natural mind and not in our spiritual mind. So as we're looking at these things that's going on right now in the world, make sure that we stay spiritually minded. We talked about covenants. I want to talk a little bit about that. What is a covenant? A covenant is made of two words. It's a Hebrew word, brit, which means pact or treaty, and ish, which means man or the spirit man. So it's a spiritual pact or treaty with man. It means as a verb to be fettered or linked up to. In kingdom terms, it's a spiritual contract. It's what a covenant is. Covenants are always sealed or ratified in blood. We see this in the Old Testament in Leviticus 16 and 15. I'm not going to read that, but the priest would take the blood of goats or bulls and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. You were talking about the mercy seat earlier. Genesis 3 and 21. When Adam and Eve both fell, he said that he made them coats of skin. And you guys, that represented God killed an animal. So we see a blood sacrifice there, right? And most scholars believe probably that first animal that was killed was a lamb because it was the first typology that we see of Jesus, right? In the New Testament, in John 1 and 29, John the Baptist, when he's baptizing people, he sees Jesus, and it had to be by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, but he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And they understood in Jewish culture that that lamb was used as a blood sacrifice, right? Also, Let's look at the marriage covenant. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It's a very popular scripture. It says that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Quite literally, you guys, in the spirit realm, this is our marriage vows. You speak with your mouth, right? You believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. You speak with your mouth. And that's what happens when we get married. When the marriage covenant is the thing that God gives us to best understand this covenant that Christ has with his church. And so when me and Dee, I'm going to use Dean and Nancy. So when y'all met, right? If there's a point that you start to believe in your heart, you know what? I think we can make this thing work, right? And you start speaking them sweet words to a girl, you look good. You know you look good, right? I know God sent you to me. And you spoke words back to him. I know you're a powerful man of God. I know God's going to give us God's going to give us a great ministry. We can work together. But my point is, it's the same concept. It's the same concept. You begin to believe in your heart that you can make it, and then you begin to seal it with words. And when you actually say your wedding vows, you're sealing it with your words. But then there's got to be one more thing that seals that, that ratifies that covenant. That's a blood sacrifice. And so, you know, when you get married, and if both of you are virgins the way God wants it to be at the beginning, now, I'm not going to get graphic here, but you know there ends up being in intercourse a blood sacrifice. It's ratified in blood. Amen? Abortion. You know, I believe there's blood sac. The blood that is shed by these kids. You know, we know in the Old Testament, Israel got in trouble with God by passing their, with, you know, worshiping the Molech, passing their children through the fire. But there's a blood sacrifice. Every child that blood is shed in this country, I think that, you know, covenants are being made with demons, right? In Proverbs 6 and 17, when it's talking about the seven things that God hates, it says he hates hands that shed innocent blood. Deuteronomy 27 and 25 said, cursed is anyone who accepts a bribe to kill an innocent person, to accept a bribe. What's the bribe? What's the bribe with abortion? Can I tell you what it is? The bribe that Satan offers? Convenience. You ain't got time to raise no baby. This is too inconvenient. I'm too young. I still want to go to college. There's still things I want to do. That's the bribe he offers you. Get rid of it. Kill it. You ain't got time for this. Blood sacrifices. All right, y'all, I'm about to go somewhere. And but this has to be said. And as I'm talking to you about tattoos and piercings. I want to talk about this. The Lord has had this on my heart for a number of years. But I believe that when people get tattoos and when they get multiple piercings, blood is shed. I want you to think about this. And I believe that people are making covenants with demons and don't realize it. When you get tattoos, I'm gonna read some scripture to you too, okay? But I believe you are making open portals for demons to come inside of you. I saw a on YouTube a couple years ago, and I sat all my kids down. I sat all my kids down and made them watch this. It was a young lady who was going, they were doing a deliverance service. She was full of demons. And the guy, after he made, that was doing the deliverance service, he asked her, he made the demon, he said, what's your name? He made the demon tell him his name. He said, how did you enter her? And she, the demon is speaking through her. He said, through her tattoo. And the tattoo she had was a cute little butterfly tattoo. And I made all my kids, all four of them, sit down and watch that. I said, you guys, I'm just telling you what the Lord is showing me. Don't do it. Listen, I'm going to read you scripture on this. Ain't Brother Troy. Leviticus 19 and 28. You shall make no cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. I'm going to read that in the Amplified too. You shall make no cuts on your body in mourning for the dead, nor make any tattoo marks on yourself. I am the Lord. I like what he said, I am the Lord. In other words, I'm the final authority on this. I'm the final authority on this. So, like I said, he's trying. Like I said, when you're getting a tattoo, now I've never had one, but I understand it hurts. But here's the thing, you're shedding blood. See, this covenant thing, you guys, is very, very serious. You are shedding blood. And why has, it has been an explosion in the last 20 years with this. Why has Satan made this, they call it body art. Why has he made this so popular? Listen, I know people that get one, and that's how I know that there's a spirit that enters, and they say, I can't wait to get my next one. And then they say, I can't wait to get my next one, and I can't wait, and I'm going to get one right here, and then I'm going to get one right here. See, because there, every time you get one, more demons are entering inside of you. Now, look, if you did some things while you were unsaved, no problem. But I'm going to tell you something. Every single time God brings the truth to you, it makes you come to a fork in the road. And one of those roads is tradition. I'm going to stay right here. I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to get my next tat. The other road is truth. And it's this struggle inside your spirit because you got to decide, do I stay on this road of tradition or do I go down this road of truth? Let me read one more scripture to you. Psalms 139, 13 and 14. David, the psalmist, is speaking to the Lord. He says, "For you formed me in my inner parts, in the innermost parts. You knit me together." This is in the Amplified. "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works." Can I tell you something? You already perfect. He made you in your mother's womb exactly how he wanted you to be. You don't need a rose. You don't need a butterfly. You don't need a skull. You don't need your mom that's gone on to be with the Lord, her face. You don't need your favorite football team. He said you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Why are you messing this up? That's Satan. Open their eyes, Lord. Now listen, there might be some people here that's got tattoos, and there might be some spirits bothering you, and you don't even know why they're bothering you. How come I can't get over this pornography? How come I keep having nightmares? We might just need to have a deliverance service one day. No, I'm just being for real. Because of them tats. Let me read another scripture to you. Mark 5, 1 through 5. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling amongst the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." You guys, every time I see in the scriptures where there's cutting, piercing, poking of the skin, there is demonic activity involved. Now, I'm going to tell you, one of my four kids, even after me and my wife have taught on this and taught on this over the years, one of them went and got two tats. You know why? Because everybody's doing it. Satan got her out of her spirit mind and into her natural mind. Because my friends have done it. A couple other girls at church have done it. When she showed it to me, I didn't say nothing, but she read my face. I was just like, and she said, "Daddy, I don't even want to hear it." I didn't say, she knew. You know. But I had to bring that up because, listen, you guys, anywhere that we will not shine light, the light of God's truth, Satan says, "I'll take that territory," and darkness will rule. And because churches are not teaching about this and preaching about this and instructing their flock, I've even heard some churches say, "Well, you know, it's Old Testament." Well, you preaching other stuff out of the Old Testament? But we have to shine light on this stuff. Because darkness will prevail. Wherever light won't go, darkness prevails. And I'm telling you guys, this is of the enemy. There's three kinds of covenants. There's conditional covenants. And we see that in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. He says, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land." That's a conditional covenant. There's that big if. I hear you preach on it all. You've been using that word, if my people. Look at John 15 and 5. Jesus says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abides in me, If a man abides not in me, he is cast as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire to be burned. Those are conditional covenants. And I believe that scripture is talking about salvation in John 15 and 5. Then you got unconditional covenants. Look, Israel is always going to be God's chosen people. That's an unconditional. He said they're the apple of my eye. Now, he'll spank them from time to time. He'll take off his belt and warm them up. We see that all throughout the Bible. But they're his people. And guess what? That's their land. Y'all, they've been plotting since the Old Testament time. Look, that's their land, and God going to fight for it. And if there's any ruler that's even over Israel that try to give up land, he'll get rid of them. Wasn't it one? Was it Sharon? One of them had went into a coma and ended up dying because he gave up some land. That's God's. Those are unconditional covenants. You ain't going to change that. And then there's everlasting covenants, like the rainbow. God said, I'll never destroy the earth again with rain, with water. Then their eternal life. You guys, once we're there, it ain't no more. I mean, that's it. It's eternal. That's an everlasting covenant. Curses. A curse is a solemn utterance intended to invoke supernatural power to inflict harm or punishment upon someone or something. What things are curses? Famines, droughts, floods, violent storms like tornadoes and hurricanes. And then you have pestilence, which are like we're going through right now, COVID-19, viruses or diseases that lead to pandemics. I was looking at the word pandemic when I was writing it down. The Holy Spirit showed me something. Pan, you know, that word means fear. And then I looked at the last letters. It almost looks like demons. Pandemics, fear demons, because that's what they bring on. Whole nation in fear. Me and D go in the Walmart, try to say hi to somebody, turn their head away from you. We at the park walking and running. I mean, we far away from being. We always got this thing. We like to speak to everybody. Hey, how you doing? Fear demons. Pandemics. Sorry, y'all. Holy Spirit showed me that. How does one catch a curse? Can you catch a curse? You can catch a cold, right? You can catch a curse. First way, touch not God's anointed. We see that in Psalms 105, 14, and 16. God said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And he sent a famine when he was speaking that. Let me tell you something. This man is anointed. Hey, you ain't got to like everything about him. Don't touch him with your mouth. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Look, I'm going to tell you something about the president. He's anointed. I don't know if any of you guys keep up with the prophets, but the prophets have been saying for a long time that this man is operating in a Cyrus, King Cyrus anointing. I think it's Isaiah 45. He's the 45th president. And in Isaiah 45, it talks about King Cyrus. It's the only place in the Bible you will see a person that was not saved that God said, I anointed. This man is anointed to do what he's doing. What he does with an economy, he is anointed, what he's doing. What he does with our foreign affairs, foreign policy, he is anointed to do what he's done. And if it wasn't for this pandemic that I believe was set on purpose to hurt him, I mean, our unemployment rate was under 5% before all this. He's anointed to do those things. Now, some personality issues, he ain't anointed in that area. But here's the thing about him. Don't touch him. I'm telling you, he's God's anointed. Don't touch him. And all these people out here that are going after him, there's going to be a reckoning one day. God's going to repay. You don't touch his anointed. I'm going to give you some proof. Look at 2 Kings 2, 23 and 24. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to paraphrase. You've all read this before. But the prophet Elisha was bald, kind of like you, Pastor. And there were 42 children that, when he went walked past, they said, bald-headed, bald-headed, bald-headed. You know how kids are. And he turned around and he said, I curse you. And two she-bears. God didn't send two male bears because we kind of just lazy. But you know them she-bears? They came out and killed all 42 of them, mauled them. You don't touch God's anointed. I'm serious, you guys. That's how you can catch a curse. Here's another way. Blatant disobedience to the word of God. Malachi 3:8-9. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. So because of it, he said, you are cursed with a curse. You can catch a curse. Hebrews 10:26-29. For if we willfully and deliberately and deliberately sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there's no longer remains a sacrifice to atone for our sins. This must be in the Amplified. That is no further offering to anticipate, but a kind of awful and terrifying expectation of divine judgment and fury, of fire and burning wrath, which will consume the adversaries, those who put themselves in opposition to God. Anyone who ignored and set aside the law of Moses is put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much greater do you think he will deserve who has rejected and trampled underfoot the Son of God and has considered unclean and common the blood of the covenant that sanctified him and has insulted the Spirit of grace? Y'all, this is talking about you saved, been walking with God, and you turn back to the world. That's what he's talking about here. You can catch a curse. And then finally, you can make covenant with a cursed thing. And we talked about that, right? So there is no reason that we should ever, as righteous people, be in agreement with abortion, promoting homosexuality or transgenderism, or anybody that is anti-Israel. Don't make covenant with those people. Finally, I want to talk to you about the last thing I'm going to talk to you about is the chief cornerstone. Let me read 1 Peter to you, 2:4-8. Actually, I'm just going to read 6-8. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded or confused. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. You guys, Jesus is our chief cornerstone. He said that the stone that the builders rejected, that means the Jewish people, he came to them first, but they rejected him. But God said, I have made him the chief corner. Is there anybody here that's a builder? That does any building, ever done any building? You know, when you're laying that foundation, there's one corner that is your chief cornerstone. Am I right? And you measure everything against that corner. That's the chief corner. That's what he's talking about with Jesus. So when you're measuring it against the cornerstone, if you're saying, okay, I'm white and I think I'm better than other people because I'm white, you know what the corner, you know what he does? He says, I got to tap him back down because he's above. He's above me right here. He thinks he's above. But what if you're somebody and say, you know what? I'm depressed and I feel like killing myself. No, that's below the corner. That's not lined up either. Jesus said, we got to tap you back up. But everything in life has to be based on that cornerstone. I got to line it up with Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. Does it line up? Is it too high over here? Is it too low? If you stay in that word and keep your mind on him, you're always have everything lined with the chief cornerstone. So Jesus is either going to be your firm foundation or he's going to be a stumbling block. Look, I'm going to tell you something. This was a hard word today. And you don't have to accept all of it. You know what? Some of it, you know, it can become a stumbling block to you. I don't want to receive that. He can either be your rock of ages or he can be your rock of offense. You can get offended by the truth. Amen. I want to say one last thing as I end. You guys, I taught on this yesterday at our church, at our service. Don't be fooled by what's going on. I don't have time to teach it today. But what's going on, the chief principality that's in operation in our nation right now is the spirit of Leviathan. And if you don't know what the spirit of Leviathan is, do a little research. It's in the Bible 5 times. But it's in Job is the account that we look at the most. But it's a demonic spirit, and it twists words. You know, it twists words. And it goes, that spirit, it goes after marriages. Look, as soon as you say I do, and God seals that covenant with you with your words, and we talked about all that, the spirit of Leviathan comes in, and through communication, the Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. What's being said in the airways, what's coming on over television and radio. If you want to see it in operation, I could put a TV, this TV right here, have it on Fox, this TV over here, have it on CNN, and you will see the spirit of Leviathan at work, twisting. Leviathan was a giant crocodile back in the day. I believe he was like a prehistoric crocodile. He was huge. Job talks about him. What does crocodiles do? When they strike, they do the death roll. They start in a marriage, y'all start speaking bad to each other. She throws one at you, you throw one back at her. She throws one back at you, and guess what? That death spiral starts. And what that spirit is trying to do is kill that marriage. And every time you guys get, he takes it deep. You got to learn how to recognize the spirit of Leviathan. Right now he's trying to destroy a nation. And it's over color and stuff like that. That's why God had me speak about that today. That's the chief principality. But I wanted to tell you guys that. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Dean. I hope the Lord spoke to your heart today. Amen.
Amen. Good word. That's a preacher right there. And I want to just say, look, that right there at the end, Jesus is either going to be your foundation or your stumbling stone. You need to get that, because really it comes down that Jesus is the truth. Not from Fox News, not from CNN, not from anybody else. That's not where we get our truth from. We get our truth as Christians. No matter what color, race, no matter where we live, we get our truth from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And we're either going to let Jesus be that foundation or we're going to stumble. Many are stumbling, even Christians, stumbling and falling away. And this was foretold, that we would have a falling away. I do believe, though, and I've said this many times, I do believe that in the midst of all of this insanity, and as the world gets worse and worse, and sin gets worse and worse, and lawlessness gets worse and worse. Because another spirit we're dealing with is the spirit of Antichrist. They forget he's called the man of sin or the man of lawlessness. People are like, we want to do away with the police. We want to do away with we want to do away with the United States government. Well, guess what? The United States government's done some things wrong, but you will change one authority for just another authority. I mean, there's always, and that's something we've got to settle in. There's always going to be an authority. It's always going to be somebody that has to say so. And I can tell you this much, even with all the problems of our United States government, I would rather have that than a communist government. And that's another thing we're facing. The red horse is trying to ride across America right now. Communism and socialism. And they're in the stage of violent revival, of revolution, I should say. They're having their own revival. And so our number one weapon is prayer. Number one is prayer. We need to pray against these spirits, Leviathan, lawlessness, Antichrist, violence, hatred, division. We need to bind these spirits in Jesus' name and rebuke them and continue to pray for God to have mercy on our nation, for him to supernaturally and powerfully intervene in this situation. You say, well, Pastor Dean, the Bible says it's going to get worse and worse and worse, so there's nothing we can do. Not true. Not true. We can see in the midst of the last days, there will be, and you hear me, pockets, places, I believe states, nations, that'll be places of revival, places of safety and refuge, places of healing, while the whole world may be going completely crazy. God will not forsake his people, nor will he forsake his plan that he has for us until the end. There are good things in store. People are going to be saved. People are going to be delivered. People are going to be healed by the name and the power of Jesus. I mean, this in the midst of all this, look, Daniel said it's going to get, you know, Daniel chapter 12, he said there's going to be a time of tribulation, time of trouble at the end. It's going to be unlike anything the world has ever seen. But then he said these words. He said, but they who know their God will be strong and do exploits. He said, those who understand among the people at that time will turn many to righteousness. So in the midst of this, what we've got to be is, again, our identity. I love that. Our identity has got to be, are we kingdom people? Are we a royal priesthood? Are we truly for Jesus, or are we going to start leaning and being for ourselves? I just love that. Well, Troy, that was a word from the Lord. Amen? It was a word from the Lord. I pray it goes forth to this whole nation. Listen, everybody, share this. Share this message. We have it on YouTube. It's on Facebook now. But share it all over the place, because the truth is what breaks through the lies. And only the truth of God's word and the truth of Jesus, that's the only thing that's going to break through all these lies. Because there are deceivers and liars and traitors everywhere. And some of them are Republican and some of them are Democrats and some of them are just dirty dogs. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what color the skin is. Some evil people of all races, evil, just want to do evil. And we got to stop going, oh, it's black or it's white, or it's got to stop. Because it really comes down, is Jesus or Satan? Which side are you on? Jesus or Satan? Amen? Pray for revival. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to, I tell you what, I'm going to do that song again. We're going to go out of here on a good note. The kingdoms of this world. What is that song by Lindell? We did this. Is it the first one? Yes, yeah, the first one, right? Yeah. All right. We're going to do this song. Let me pray, and we're going to do this song. Let's stand in here, because this is what it's about. It's about the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? And look, yeah, it's going to get bad. But let's just try to point as many people to Jesus as we possibly can, and then the day's coming. So I know there's a lot of people think that we're going to be raptured out of here, but no, we're not. But there's a day he will come, and he's going to set up his kingdom. And let me just tell you, when Jesus returns, he's not going to be partial to any skin color. If you're wicked, you're out. If you're with him, you're in. And he's going to set up his kingdom. And it's only going to be based on, are you loyal to the king? Amen? Let's sing this. Well, let me pray. Father, I pray this today. I thank you for Troy and Dee. I thank you. I ask you to bless them and bless their ministry and just use them in a powerful way. Lord, you already have over the years, and I know that now is a new season. Now is a new time. Lord, you're going to use them to break through in Montgomery, Alabama, and touch many people's lives. And Lord, we just pray your kingdom come and your will be. We pray for our state, Lord, here to become a light, Lord, to become a true light, God, for to lift up Jesus as the way and the truth and the life, even in our political arena, that Jesus would be lifted up. And Lord, we pray for your grace, and we pray for your protection over your people, and we pray again for our nation that you will have mercy. But Lord, we don't look to these things because we look to the day that your kingdom will be established here in the earth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.
We declare that your throne will last forever, Lord. We declare that your throne will last forever, Lord. We lift you up, Jesus. Hear the mighty thunder, an army without number, dancing on the kingdoms of this world. See the banner waving, hear the name they're praising. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So prepare the way for the ancient of days on a white horse. As he starts to ride, hear the people cry. Your throne will last forever, throughout the endless age. Every knee bow down, every tongue say loud. Your throne will last, last forever. His eyes are fire. The Lamb is now a lion. He's bringing justice in his nail-scarred hand. And you know he's bringing down high places. The humble sing his praises. The King has returned to rule the land. Hey! So prepare the way.
So prepare the way.
Every knee